The Illusion of Choice. A Life Lived on Autopilot. Chapter 10, Breaking the Web, Loss of Control and Desperate Measures. The chapter opens at a makeshift lab, Quantum Quinn's lab, where the group and the team meets to form strategy. Present is Scott and Alejandra, along with the Guardian AI, as well as Quantum Quinn. His machinery brought over from the lab to the safe house. There is the low hum of different devices, the tapping of keyboards, and faint electronic beeping. After narrowly surviving Knox's attack, Scott muses, we regrouped at the safe house, although the safe house had become Quantum Quinn's lab apart from his lab. But this time, the Guardian AI had something to say, something important. In a mechanized voice, calm but direct, the artificial intelligence speaks. Nathaniel Knox has entangled himself with his network of machines. The closer his control spreads, the more vulnerable he becomes. And Alejandra determined says, well, that's how we stop him, isn't it? We break his connection to the system and he loses his power, right? And Quantum Quinn is excited but cautious.
Well, not so fast. It's not just about cutting him off. It's also about figuring out how he's entangling himself with both the system he's using and with people like us. Alejandra, remember when you were pulled out of his stronghold by Scott? You sensed something, didn't you?
And Alejandra nods.
Well, I did. I noticed there was a frequency, some kind of signal. If we can find the right anti-frequency, we might be able to jam that connection he uses. But that's only half the battle.
The Guardian AI is thoughtful. I've learned something during my battle with his robots. His machines communicate on a closed network. By engaging with them, I've gained access to a portion of it. And Scott realizes, so you're saying that while he was beating you, or his robots were, you were truly beating him by hacking into his system? Well, that's huge. And the Guardian AI says, this is correct, but the entanglement runs deeper than just data. He's embedded himself in the very fabric of the systems he controls. To break that connection, we need more than just a signal jammer. We need to sever his consciousness from the machinery. The Guardian AI's words are a literal call to action, at least as far as Alejandra's concerned. Amid low electronic humming, machines beeping, and soft typing from Alejandra's computer, she works through the data she recovered from the partial hack she performed. Alejandra wasn't just sitting on the sidelines, Scott thinks. Despite being pulled out of Knox's stronghold, she'd managed to extract something vital before I interrupted her hack. Something almost invisible to the naked eye, but massive in its implications. Alejandra continues the narration.
I didn't have long when I was actually penetrating, but I did manage to access part of Knox's control systems, his core operating protocols. It's all built on microscopic nodes, nodes that are smaller than a grain of sand, but they're spread across the entire world. And they're embedded in everything, machines and networks, even biological systems.
The team gathers around Alejandra's screen, and Quantum Quinn says, impressed,
microscopic nodes? That's genius in a terrifying kind of way. It means that he doesn't need physical proximity to anything he seeks to control. His influence is everywhere, embedded in the fabric of everything we interact with.
And Scott, concerned, says, so what exactly is at play? We just take out these microscopic nodes? And Alejandra shakes her head.
It's not that simple. These nodes aren't just data points. They're nanoscale transmitters linked to his consciousness. each one strengthens his reach. So if we destroy one, the others adapt and compensate. So we have to disable the entire network, every single node, at once.
There is a brief silence as the weight of this discovery hits the group. And the Guardian AI, calm and thoughtful, says, "What Alejandra uncovered is critical. During the battle with Nox's robots, I picked up residual data from their communication. It matches what she's describing. These microscopic nodes are like synapses in a brain linked by a network." And Quantum Quinn is energized.
Well, exactly what I was saying. Now, with the Guardian's data gained from that brouhaha, we can disrupt those synapses. Alejandra, your hack gave us the map, and the Guardian has the key to jamming the signal for every node within that network.
Alejandra nods.
What this seems to be coming down to is we need to send a counter frequency, something that will overload all these nodes across the globe and sever Nox's connection to the network, at least temporarily.
And Scott says, determined, "But we've got only one shot, right? I mean, if he catches on, we lose everything." And Quantum Quinn serious says,
"Well, that's right. These nodes are small, but they're linked through a complex system. Once we're in, there's no going back. So, Guardian, you'll need to execute the shutdown precisely when the frequency will, in fact, disrupt that network."
And the Guardian AI, calm and resolute, says, "Understood. I'll monitor the quantum network and initiate the shutdown at the exact moment Alejandra triggers the hack." The scene shifts to Scott and Alejandra's rapidly dissipating relationship. Quiet, distant city noises carry through an open window, and there's the sounds of footsteps, a soft, hesitant conversation beginning. "After all we'd been through, I never thought that the hardest fight would be with Alejandra. But it's not the enemies out there, it's the doubt that was growing between us. Doubts about us and about our very affection for each other." There is a faint clinking as Alejandra sets down a cup of tea on the table. And she says softly but frustrated,
"Scott, I know you mean well, but you're suffocating me. Since that gas explosion, you've been treating me like I'm made of glass. I can't breathe."
And Scott, hurt but trying to remain calm, says, "I swore I'd protect you, Alejandra. I wasn't going to let anything happen to you, not after what we'd been through. And it's not suffocating you. That's caring for you. That's keeping my word." And Alejandra sighs.
"But you've taken this a bit far. I need space to work, to think, to be me. I can't just sit here being your responsibility. I'm not helpless. I have my own life, Scott. I'm not just some fragile thing that you need to keep safe."
And Scott, his voice tightening, says, "So now I'm the bad guy for wanting to keep you alive? For keeping you safe from all this chaos? I'm not out drinking or trying to cheat. I'm just trying to keep my word." There's a pause as both of them breathe heavily, the silence between them almost palpable. And Alejandra says quietly but with conviction,
"It's not about being a good guy or a bad guy, Scott. It's about me needing to live my own life. You're protecting me, true, but you're also smothering me. I need to be more than just someone you're protecting."
It almost seems like you're saying that you don't trust me, Alejandra. And hesitant, she responds,
"I don't trust this, us. How can we even know if this is real? What if everything we felt, everything we're thinking about one another, is just programmed, manipulated, nudged forward by all those forces that we don't even understand, whether it's Nitty or a universe where things are etched in stone and we have the illusion of free choice?"
There is the ticking of a clock in the background, underscoring the weight of her words. Scott is confused and defensive. "So you really think that
When I say I care about you, I'm following a script. And when you say you care about me, you are just following a script. That we're not in control of anything we feel. And Alejandra frowns. I don't know, Scott. We've talked about things like physics and how these photons that are observed, they can see into the future somehow. So maybe everything's already truly set in stone. And that experiment where the photons seem to know what we're going to do without fail, maybe that means we have no free will, which would mean that our love, whatever this is, was never really our choice to begin with. Scott stands up abruptly, his footsteps sharp against the floor. He paces, and angry but hurt says, "So you're saying none of what we have is real, that we're just NPCs in some game, and we've been programmed to be in love, controlled by Nathaniel Knox, or by the universe, by whomever. That's what you really think, isn't it?" And Alejandra, quietly looking down, says, "I don't know, Scott. That's the problem. It's all just this entanglement and predestination. How do we know what's real? How do we know if the future, in fact, is already etched in stone somewhere out there? How do we know that we have any kind of choice and anything we feel or think is really original? It could be that Knox wants us to be in love so that we're easier to control. Or maybe the universe thinks we should breed because we're smart people. How do I know?" Silence hangs between them, both struggling with the weight of the words. And Scott sighs, softening. "Alejandra, I don't have all the answers. I wish I did, but what I know is that when I'm with you, when I look at you, it feels real. It feels like a choice I'm making to be with you, not because someone else decided it for me. Isn't that enough for you?" And Alejandra says, teary-eyed, "But what if it's not, Scott? What if we're just fooling ourselves? You saw the experiment. You know what we're up against. How can we trust anything, even what we have?" The light fades on Scott and Alejandra's conversation, the tension of it lingering in the air. Meanwhile, in the undisclosed location where Nitti maintains his lab and a vast network of computers for tracking the AI nodes, there is the mechanical buzz of large computer systems, the rhythmic clicks and beeps of supercomputers interfacing with one another, and there is the layered sound of digital chatter, the voices of AI nodes communicating globally. "There I am with tens of thousands of nodes, all working for me, feeding me, keeping me in control. But control, it feels so distant, and it feels like it's fracturing." Nitti grows reflective in his solitude. Something isn't quite right with his machines. Nitti, also known as Nathaniel Knox, taps on the keyboard, trying to maintain control. He mutters to himself, "Everything's running as it should. Every note, every soul. Why does it feel like I'm being torn apart?" The hum grows louder, as if the network is pressing in on him. Soft, overlapping whispers, the lives of the infinite number of people he controls, begin to echo faintly in his mind. And an AI system with a mechanical voice says, "Processing, global network active, entanglement integrity at 98%. The system crackles. Nitti's vision blurs as the whispers intensify, an overwhelming chorus of thoughts and lives. One voice whispers, "I'm picking up the bread. Do I need it?" And then there's a second voice, faint, overlapping the first, saying, "Will he find out? And if he does, what will happen to me?" Nitti, gritting his teeth, yells aloud, "Stop it! Stop this noise!" The computer hum becomes distorted, the glitching of systems intertwining with the whispers. Nitti presses buttons furiously, but his own entanglement tightens. Even worse, the AI system announces a glitch. "Entanglement, error, disparity increasing, node 468, disconnected." Nitty stumbles back, the weight of thousands of connections bearing down on him. I control them. I control it all. This is mine. The scene ends with the sound of static overtaking the hum of the computers and the whispers quieting into an eerie silence.